Support for Tech News Briefing comes from Optum. They're tackling the biggest challenges in healthcare with innovative, data-driven solutions that help improve outcomes for everyone. Optum, how well gets done. Learn more at Optum.com.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York with a question for you. Are you addicted to your smartphone? It's a dumb question. Of course you are. However, now more than a decade into the smartphone era, investors, activists, and customers alike have begun to push phone makers, especially Apple, to find a way to solve phone addiction. The feature we need actually already exists. It's called Do Not Disturb. And the Wall Street Journal's David Pierce joins us in just a moment to help steal back at least some of the attention we've surrendered to our smartphones. But first, these tech headlines. The Journal writes how the government is increasingly relying on Amazon. In the past several years, Amazon.com has won much of the business to help the U.S. government move to the cloud. In the process, Amazon has built up other security approvals that allow it to store increasingly sensitive categories of data. Research firm GBH Insights predicts that Amazon's government business will grow to $2.8 billion in 2018 and $4.6 billion in 2019. WSJ's CIO Journal writes that laptops and phones, as well as PCs and servers, are exempt so far from President Trump's $50 billion tariff plan, sparing IT departments, but also the U.S. technology industry, which often relies on Chinese manufacturers to supply low-value added processing to their tech products. And the Journal writes how we should all prepare for a new breed of supersonic aircraft, one that brings a reduction in both noise and environmental pollution. Aviation startups are developing planes with two engines compared with the Concorde's four and lower cruising speeds. Along with thinner noses, this will minimize sonic boom and possibly allow for overland flights. Coming up, Apple's Do Not Disturb could help us cure our possibly disturbing smartphone addiction, but it's up to Apple and Google to fix Do Not Disturb mode. The Wall Street Journal's David Pierce has a few tricks to pull us back into the real world. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. And now, a tutorial. It's called How to Shut Your Phone Up, for a while at least, and comes by way of the Wall Street Journal's personal tech columnist, David Pierce, who for a change is right here in New York. Welcome.
Hi, I can see you. This is so exciting.
It's kind of weird. We were just talking about it. So this is a cause that I really support. We really are scrolling and tapping all day, and it's as if we are desensitized to our collective addiction, but it's what professionals are calling a problem. So your piece in the Journal is the start of a solution of sorts right at our fingertips, whether we have an Android or Apple. It's called Do Not Disturb. It's a start to lessening some of the constant pinging and buzzing.
Sure. So basically, Do Not Disturb is sort of set up like one of those big switches that like the bad guy always throws in the movie to turn off all the power in the city, like that takes two hands and it like thunks when you do it. But it's essentially the sort of full-on mute switch for your phone. Rather than just, you know, putting it on silent and hoping you don't notice, this will actually keep your phone from turning on when you get notifications. It'll keep it from making any sound. And the only thing it will do if you allow it is essentially let through people you decide. So you can say, you know, I want my partner and my best friend and my babysitter to be able to reach me at all times, no matter what. So you put them on a list and everybody else just gets shut up as soon as you engage it. And you can actually, one of the things I recommend in the piece is to schedule Do Not Disturb. So you can have it say from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. just off, right? And it automatically turns on Do Not Disturb. It's this really simple feature. It's not nearly as nuanced and helpful as it actually could be, but it is, if you don't want to hear from your phone, it's at least a tool you have to just say, leave me alone for a minute.
It sounds like it made some progress because I actually got out of the habit of using Do Not Disturb for a lot of the reasons that you got into in your piece. You're a lot better at explaining this stuff than I am. So how could Apple and Google make this function more intuitive?
Yeah, so if you think about all the things that your phone knows about you, where you are, what you do on your phone when you unlock it, it knows what's on your calendar next because you have your calendar on your phone. It knows what's in your email. It knows who you call. And yet your phone doesn't use any of this data to actually help you. What if your phone knew that I'm in a meeting with someone important, which is not a thing that your phone can't know. That's totally viable. And then it would automatically shut it off, except when my mom calls, and it's weird that my mom calls, because my mom doesn't often call during the day when I'm at work, it should be able to intelligently figure out, oh, this is probably something, maybe we should interrupt David. But then otherwise, if my mom calls 10 times a day just to talk, maybe it won't, and maybe I can call her back. And these are the sorts of things that your phone knows. Like, Apple and Google have this information about how you use your phone. They're just not collating it for you in a way that actually helps you use it less. They're there to help you make it more powerful and use it more. So when you swipe down, Siri recommends all those apps. That's all coming from that same usage data.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not actually interested so far in helping you go the other way and use it less or more responsibly.
Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, it is a start. You know, these things are all a work in progress. But we can move beyond do not disturb. For example, we can tweak our notifications.
Yeah, so that's one of the big things that when I brought this up to Apple and Google and said, look, why haven't you made do not disturb better? One of the things they both said was that your best tool is notifications. You can go in and you can say, no, I don't want Yelp sending me notifications all day. You can say, I do want it sending me notifications, but I don't want it to buzz my phone. And there's actually pretty fine control on both of those platforms over what you see and what you don't. But my argument, I guess, is that doesn't go far enough. Even those are sort of just mini versions of that same kind of on-off switch, where what you really need is a slider, if that makes sense. You need to be able to go from really powerful, all your notifications, I'm sitting on a plane and I'm bored and I just want all the junk on my phone I possibly can to keep me distracted, all the way to the other side, which is just shut up and leave me alone and don't make any sound no matter what, and then tons of nuance in between. There should be like a I'm watching TV and it's a show I really like setting, and a I'm watching TV and it's a show I don't really care about setting. Like, those are possible things, and it's these big steps in the middle. But to your point, again, shutting off notifications, or at least spending 10 minutes going through and sort of deciding what you want on and off, is a really, really good start.
Yeah, it's a project, but it's worth it. We can also monitor ourselves. There are apps and functions that can help us assess our addiction and then perhaps take the next steps from there, I guess, right?
Yeah, one of the more terrifying things I did in reporting this column was install an app called Moment, which basically monitors how often you open your phone, and it, in a slightly hacky but more or less accurate way, tells you what you're doing when you unlock it. And I discovered, I think on the first day I installed the app, I opened my phone 93 different times. What was really eye-opening to me was that you feel often like you look at your phone for a second and then put it away. And the thing that I realized is that is not true. Like, my short interactions were 3 and 4 minutes long.
Okay.
Because it's like, I open it up and I'm like, oh, I have a text message. And then I respond to that text message. And then I go to my home screen and then I open Instagram just real quick. And then all of a sudden, like, I do that 2 or 3 more times. And I've been sitting there for 4 minutes ignoring the person I'm sitting across from while I quote unquote respond to do a text message. So that just knowing what's going on and how often I'm doing this was really powerful.
Acknowledging the problem, absolutely.
Totally.
And when monitoring isn't enough, you can parent yourself. You can use your own phone to parent yourself, which is good. So parental controls all of a sudden become pretty useful.
Yeah, I like to call mine the me controls. and they're much more intense, but it's a good sort of...
It's interesting,
It's a good cold turkey solution, I guess. Like, for me, it's if I tend to sort of... I will spend money in apps if I'm left alone. So I could just turn off in-app purchasing, or I could turn off Safari if I don't want to look in a browser, or I could turn off installing apps and just use the phone sort of as it is out of the box. Like, there are these really intense, sort of overdone, but useful tools if the thing you need is basically to tie your hands behind your back so that you can't use your phone. That's actually a pretty good one.
Yeah, no, keeping yourself in check. And if you really want to challenge yourself, they even have apps that try to force you from get into this tree growing situation. It's an interesting hook here, but I get it. I would do it if it helps.
Okay, so I will warn you that this is going to sound insane, but it totally works. It's this app called Forest, which you can get for both iPhone and Android. And essentially, you open the app and you set how long you don't want to touch your phone for, and it starts growing a tree. So I say, you know, I don't want to use my phone for 30 minutes. You press the button and a little tiny sapling starts to grow. And that's it. That's the whole game, right? And so if you then leave the app, it'll give you a little notification that says, oh no, come back or your tree will die. And meanwhile, you're starting to like thumb through Instagram. And if you stay out of the app for too long, it's 10 seconds or so, your tree dies. And it's so stupid. But it's this little game that you wind up playing in your head where for me, the number of times that I'm looking at my phone just for no reason, just because it's kind of what my hands do, and all of a sudden there's something already on my phone, and now I can't because it'll be bad. It's actually this tiny but really powerful thing that, especially for those moments where you don't want to like leave your phone in the other room or never use it again, but it's like, okay, I need to focus on this thing for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. You just press the thing, hit the timer, and then every time you reach out for your phone, it's like, ah, don't do that.
Yeah.
It's actually really helpful.
Probably a good exercise. I'm intrigued. I'm going to check it out. David Pierce, thank you so much. It's fun having you in studio.
Likewise. Thank you.
You can visually see for yourself how to do all of the above by checking out David's piece at WSJ.com/tech. That's it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.